This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chipper, like all our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So I was off yesterday. Chip normally joins us on Monday, so Dave and I talking last night. And I say, let's have Chip on. You know, we haven't talked to Chip in a while. Things are busy. Well, I guess this turned out to be the right decision because the Vikings' world has turned upside down. It goes from J.J. McCarthy with some moments that look pretty good, where people are saying, hey, that's why you finally get a rookie quarterback. The pay is low. You can be patient with them. Maybe J.J.'s so good, the patience goes out the window. And then Monday, well, just some knee soreness, and you're thinking, well, you know, he's playing his first game in a while, knee soreness, and then you find out there's an 11:30 Zoom call with Kevin O'Connell, and J.J. McCarthy now has a torn meniscus, right knee, and will have surgery, assuming the next couple days. They're being quiet on that, but they're not going to wait too long. And the key thing here, Chip, is you know with these meniscus injuries, if it's a minor, they call it trimming, and he can be back in a few weeks. The issue with that is some of those procedures, and we've dealt with this recently with the Wolves, with Carl Towns, and even a few years before with Jimmy Butler, that sometimes those can pop up, not just later in their adult life, but later in their career and be an issue. But if it's more of a significant tear, then it's a full repair, and then he's out months and months and maybe the season. So I started the show, man, saying if you're a Minnesota sports fan, maybe just say uncle. I mean, you know it's inevitable, and you finally get the kid quarterback who's doing everything, and this happens. What's just your overall reaction to this?
You're throwing in the towel, that's it?
Yeah, it's all for all sports. Just watch now. Don't care about the results because you know something bad is about to happen.
Yeah, you know, there's never good timing for something like this, but I think the fact that it came on the heels of, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cold here. It came on the heels of what he did Saturday and the impression that he left, you know, for the first view for most fans of JJ was positive. Obviously, he had the one interception that was tough, but the way he came back and responded and the two touchdown passes, and I think overall most fans looked at that and said, all right, I can see where this is going. This creates some excitement here. And then to get the news, and when, you know, I've covered this league and long enough, when someone shows up with a sore knee and then they don't practice that night, it's not going to be minor, I don't think. And you can look at it a couple ways, and I've seen it on Twitter already where people say, well, you know, he wasn't going to start anyway the season. And I understand that, but he's losing some major developmental time in terms of the reps that he's getting, all the practice. And I can tell you, if you watch him in spring, you know, the OTAs and minicamp compared to what he's looked like here, I would say the last 2 weeks of training camp, you can see a big improvement in his just overall feel for the offense, the way he's throwing the ball, the command, all that. You can just see how he's making progress. And so there's excitement by that. And so now you have to hit pause on that. And hopefully it is just a minor trim where he can get back out there in a couple weeks. But For career wise, this is not, you know, doomsday, but it does set back his developmental clock. And so now all eyes go to Sam Darnold, and you need him to be good.
Great point by you, an enormous point, right? Because I've received a ton of those texts also. Calm down. Darnold was going to play. If McCarthy was going to play, it was going to be later in the year. And most likely that's correct. Now, as we discussed last week, sometimes a rookie is so good that he surprises us. But you nailed it. What McCarthy loses, whether it's the trim and it's 5-6 weeks or it's months, is the day-to-day actually doing it yourself. Because can he watch from the sidelines? Can he be in all the meetings? Can he watch all the tape? Sure. Yes, he can. But it is different when it's your body and that speed and seeing it. And everybody, Chip, you covered this league so long, talked about the speed. We need to see the speed. And the speed in an August game against the Raiders is very different than a November game against somebody else. So
yeah.
I don't think anybody should say, I was just having fun with it, that it's done, they need to draft another quarterback. But when you want to be patient, you want to control when you decide to be patient, not the other. He's now a patient. You know, it's a different way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to bring this along at their own timetable and his development and not rush it. Well, now you have to hit pause. And yes, he can get the mental reps and he can be in the facility, but so much of his time and energy now is just going to be on rehab and getting the knee back instead of on the field going through those reps. I mean, it's all part of the whole thing. It's like when he's getting those team reps in practice and training camp, those are valuable. That's more valuable than watching Sam Darnold do it. Just as Saturday was more valuable than what he's getting on the practice field because people are trying to sack him and tackle him, and the speed is different. And so this is just something that is, you know, he's going to be a little bit the timeline that they had for him has been altered. I mean, it just has, and we don't know the degree to which it's been altered yet. That'll get determined in surgery when they, you know, see if they need to do the little procedure or the big one. But even if it's the little one, his timeline has been altered. And so that's an impact. And so I don't know, you know, there was some, whether it was realistic or not, Chad, some people had kind of earmarked that coming after the London trip, we had the bye week, and maybe that'll be a natural time to slide him in there if Sam Darnold's not playing well. I think you forget that, you know, because you're just going to lose so much time. And, you know, I thought Darnold looked good for the one drive that he had, and he's looked better, I think, the last 10 days, 2 weeks in training camp. I think his chemistry with Jefferson has really started to develop. And so, you know, in the perfect world, we said it from the beginning without this, that their goal is, or their hope is, that Sam Darnold plays so well that they don't have to play J.J. That's not even a conversation. Well, that really becomes a situation now, and you don't want to, you know, hopefully anything happened to him, because now you're going to go through what they went through last year with really testing your depth at wide receiver. But this is disappointing. I mean, there's no way you could spin it, even if it's a short timeline for him. He just has to trim in the surgery. I mean, it's a disappointing day for them, because what we've seen from JJ and how much progress he was making and kind of all the enthusiasm that people had for what was taking place.
So, in other words, you're bearing what really happened, because I think you, Chip Scoggins, know this conspiracy theory that the Vikings did not want to hear from their fans about starting J.J. McCarthy. So they've made up this whole surgery. His knee is fine. And Dave, I'm kind of disappointed that Chip's going along with this, aren't you? Because you know what we pay him for?
No, not that on Twitter today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's out there.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. It's out there. There is a conspiracy theory for when you go to bed, what you have for breakfast. People are suggesting that this is a mastermind theory, which, again, is utterly bleeping ridiculous.
That's why you should stay off that form, of social media.
Or just laugh at it, you know.
Or be
frightened by it because of the number of people who believe it.
That's what the conspiracy theory, the people behind it want you to think, Chad.
Yeah, I'm. I'm a sucker. Mm-hmm. I'm believing what the organization is telling me. I'm not forward thinking enough to understand this is some master plan.
Long game.
Yeah, it's a long game. Let's put Mr. Scoggins on hold. Come back. We'll talk about the Minnesota Twins and what is going on with them. Chip is great as always. It's 16 past 2. Our guy Chip Scoggins with us on News Talk 830 WCCO.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chipper is with us. It's 21 past 2. Chad Hartman here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. All right, I guess if injuries are a part of the theme, Chip, let's go to Byron. Byron has been playing great baseball. No doubt about it. Check out those numbers, whether it's over a couple months or even the last month. The last night, something happens with a hip, walks right from the batter's box, walks right down the steps with the helmet, with the bat, and here we go again. Now, here we go again could be Rocco talks to the media in 2 hours, and he's in the lineup Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard to fault anybody for wondering. So how should the fans balance this out? Where, yes, you can offer up the joke, and both of us are capable of doing it, probably me more than you. But at the same time, guys, even when they've had an injury history, can get little nagging things. So I'm not going to fault somebody for offering up a quip. But I think, to me, the Buxton story almost has been lost the last couple months. How good he has been with almost all of us just waiting, just wait, just wait, just wait. And then last night happens, and you're like, see, the last 2 months or last month in particular doesn't matter at all.
Well, I don't think it doesn't matter, but we've been down this road so many times that we've seen him have hot starts. We've seen him have hot stretches that extend, weeks, but we've also seen him leave the lineup for extended period of time. And you're right. I was watching a game on TV, which, I'm loving being able to watch the games on TV again. and I saw him do exactly what you did, strike out and just keep walking right to the clubhouse. And I texted Bobby Nightingale, our writer, at the time. I said, because I don't know if they could see it from the press box, I said, hey, Buxton went straight to through the tunnel without stopping. And, then he didn't come out. And he was like, well, what is it now? And then they announced it was his hip. So, again, it could be, something that he wakes up today and it feels better, or is, could be something with him. You just don't know. And so, but he has been playing well. He's been playing really well.
Really well.
Part of that lineup that, when they're healthy and Lewis is there, and, we'll see where Correa is. We've had a couple. I was out there Friday for the doubleheader, which was just such a surreal day. Chad, it was like we walked into the clubhouse and all of a sudden Joe Ryan's shoulder is a lot worse than they thought. Brooks Lee was going on the injury list.
Yep.
Correa said he's still not able to run. Brock Stewart went over his locker. He said he's having surgery. And you're thinking, what in the world is going on? It was just like one thing after another. And then they go out and, they win two games that night against Cleveland. But You know, I mean, Rocco in his office that day, I think he's become so, I don't know if numb is the right word, but he said, hey, we're used to this. Like the last couple of years, like, and not just Buxton, but just all the injuries, he said, we're kind of, this is old hat for us, just having to be able to juggle and adapt for guys coming in and out of the lineup. And I guess other teams go through this, Chad, but it just feels like it's an inordinate amount of these situations that the Twins have gone through the last couple of years. So.
Well, let's talk about Carlos a little bit, because when it happened, he was playing great, right? He was healthy.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he's just stupendous in the field. You know, for a man of his size, what he's able to do is, you know, if you're a ball guy, it's thrilling to watch. And at the plate, he was so much better. And they were very clear. This is not like last year. I don't know if they use the word minor, but the impression was, okay, maybe a couple weeks. We're a long ways past a couple weeks, and there are no signs that, like, tomorrow he's going to be in the lineup.
No, it was July 12th, and this is, the 13th?
Yeah,
so
right.
He's going on a month. And, I think, now he said the way the team is playing allows him to, he does not want to have to go through what he went through last year, where he basically played on not one foot, but through a ton of pain, right? He wasn't right. You know, it's painful in the play. I think he's hoping to avoid that. And so I think what he's saying is the way the team is playing is buying him some more time to try to get this right, because he's not going to be 100%. It's going to be something he deals with this year when he comes back to whatever, you know, degree. But I think he's just wanting to avoid having to go through what he did last year. But here's the thing, Chad. We were talking about this with some writers. Have you ever heard of an athlete getting plantar fasciitis in both feet?
No.
This is a different foot than last year. I'm sure there has, and Derek Falvey said he thinks there is cases. I mean, he couldn't recall any off the top of her head, but I haven't heard it, and so it's something that's going to need to be addressed in the offseason. Chad, they're doing so much as like looking at what kind of cleats he's wearing to see what kind of support and all that stuff. So they're trying to figure out everything, but I think that's going to be an offseason thing that they're going to have to figure out, because this is now both feet 2 years consecutively where he's had to deal with this injury.
So the standings right now, they're 66-52. And when you include the start, the 7-13 start, they're 20 games over 500 since the start. That's great baseball. And when you win the first two games against Cleveland, you're thinking, you know, you're game and a half back. What if you split, you stay a game and a half back? Well, they lost both, but then they beat Kansas City and a very good Kansas City team. It's so interesting because they're four games behind the best record in all of baseball. But then Kansas City is right there in the mix. And because of all those injuries, I think the chances are still strong they make the playoffs. Because if you've played this well for this long, but man, I mean, Stewart was going to be an asset that bullpen. Lewis, he's in the Buxton category right now, you know, and Joe Ryan, they're tossing out a different starter that you really don't know or don't trust every other game. So it's just an odd position they're in right now, where you want to praise them, and they deserve it for 20 games over 500 for 3 months. But you also look ahead, and they still have quality opponents come up, including the Royals, and you say, did they really have enough pitching to stay where they're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing up a guy named Zebby Matthews,
yes,
who started the year in Class A ball.
Yeah, think about that.
And that was part of the conversation Friday, is like, all of a sudden, without Joe Ryan, you have three young pitchers in the rotation that you're going to be relying on, right? I mean, Louis Varland got a start, and Simeon Woods Richardson, who's been good, and now a guy named Zebby, and... Yeah. And, you know, Rocco had the quote where he said, well, you know, I had one child and woke up the next day and I had three children when he had twins.
Yeah.
And he said, we deal with it. It's the same thing. So they're going to have to navigate it. But you know what, Chad? They found a way.
Yeah,
they keep finding ways where they don't have long slides, and the lineup has been good. It's been producing. So we'll see if they can navigate this. But it's going to be tricky coming down the stretch.
And, yes, I was listening yesterday when you came up with the Dolly Parton. And scored one point in the initials game. So bravo for that.
If I missed that one, I should have been booted off the show. A guy from East Tennessee, I couldn't get Dolly Parton, yeah. Should not be taking part.
I'm about to text Corey after this segment. This was rigged, man. You gave Scoggins, DP, and Dolly Parton. I mean, stop the steal. What was going on? But yeah, I was listening. That was good stuff. All right.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man.
For your flexibility. We'll talk on Monday, man.
Yeah, later.
Not only is he great at what he does, but he's a great human being. Chip Scoggins, right here. On Newstalk 830 WCCO. So it's part two, Ilhan Omar against Don Samuels, right? I feel like that 2 years ago, we spent way more time talking about this race. Now, just because we in the media locally are not talking about it as much doesn't mean the voters aren't fired up about the race. That Omar supporters aren't fired up or the Samuels supporters aren't fired up, you're still seeing some national interest in it. Like today, Ilhan Omar has been trending. I don't think that's probably from a lot of supporters. That's my guess. She has so much more money than Samuels. If you have local TV and you've turned it on the last few weeks, you've been seeing ads for Omar quite a bit. It was a very competitive race last time. You saw a fellow squad member and Corey Bush lose. Was it last week or was it the week before?
Last week.
Where a powerful Jewish group went at her and spent like $9, $10 million in a primary. She handled it well. She said something about, I'm not going to finish until I tear your kingdom down. I wouldn't be thrilled if I had a group going at me. Now, I don't agree with almost everything Corey Bush says. My gut tells me that Omar has enough passionate loyalty from her core voters that even though a lot more moderates are inclined for Don, that Ilhan is going to win and then it's over in that race. I don't even personally know the name of the Republican who's running, but it's no different than some of the other districts where whomever wins the Republican primary is going to win. What is your sense here?
Are you buying that the righties are going to show up and vote for Don Samuels tonight?
So I'm sure some did, because you're allowed to do that in our state. I'm sure some did. In 22, and I'm sure some will in 24. And maybe I'm misreading it, but I talked to a number of my political friends who followed even closer to me, and they had the same feeling that it's not going to be a blowout. It'll be close, but their sense is it might not be quite as close as it was the last time. And I just get the impression because, and you don't have to agree with Ilhan Omar, but she's very popular with her core voters in that district. And that if you're telling me that her core, which isn't a small group in her district, is going to lose to more the moderates, and God knows I've said hundreds of times on this show, I'm a moderate, I'm a centrist, that you're going to get more moderates and you're going to get more righties who are going to vote, I don't think so. I just had the feeling that Samuels had more momentum the last time. And listen, we had a very spirited dialogue with Ilhan Omar months and months and months ago about Gaza, the Palestinians, and what was going on. We know where the far left is at. There's a lot of finger pointing at Netanyahu, you know, with Biden, Genocide Joe. And I think that group is very inclined to vote because they agree with Ilhan Omar. I will differ in this way. Good story in the New York Times today about how Netanyahu is altering the ceasefire agreement because he knows whenever this war ends, this grotesque war ends, that guess what? They're going to ask a couple questions, including how the hell did this happen on your watch? And, oh, by the way, should you be there? And by the way, if he's not in office, he's facing criminal trial. So I do think Bibi Netanyahu hasn't been precise and selective enough, and too many innocent civilian Palestinians have died. But I think some people on the left who say, ceasefire, 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 don't ever bring up, hey, Hamas started this bleeping thing. They were decapitating innocents, and they still have hostages all over the place. But there's a, as you know, because we've talked about it a lot, and we've listened to others and read others, there is still a lot of momentum on the further left for pushing back on the Biden administration and other administrations in their support of Israel.
Yeah, and as for the primary tonight, let me do something that's never been done before. Make an apt comparison between Ilhan Omar and Donald Trump.
Okay.
When it was still Trump versus Biden, I think it's a lot similar, very similar to what we're seeing tonight with the primary. You've got Omar supporters that, as you pointed out, are very fervent Ilhan Omar supporters, much like the MAGA wing of the Republican Party.
Yep.
Are very fervent Donald Trump supporters. And those that were going to vote for Joe Biden, probably, it feels like, at least those that are going to vote for Don Samuels, there's just not the same level of passion.
Yeah.
Of pro candidate versus I don't like the other person. And that's, you know, especially in a campaign, which is going to, or in a primary, I should say, which is going to have a very small turnout.
Yep.
I don't think that wins the day.
Yeah. And again, Don just, he's been in the mix of politics for a long time. He's been a center left guy for a long time. He's had praise. He's had some controversial issues too. I do think it's possible that others who were more represented at center left wing might have drew more interest this time. A lot of people believe his wife, Sandra. What if we've interviewed Sandra on this show many times. She is a dynamic individual. Now, Don is more recognizable, but that's just my gut today. I mean, 10:30 tonight, they might announce Don Samba's won by 5%. We'll be going, I guess we read that wrong.
Told you so. That's what I'll be saying.
That's what we
called
should,
it.
That's what we should say. I don't know what you're talking about. So I saw this on Twitter. I follow WCCO TV, and we'll say again, WCCO TV, well-established TV station in this town for a long time, and WCCO Radio. We're owned by two entities. We're owned by two different entities, right? You still hear CBS News here because we have an affiliation with CBS News, but we're not owned by CBS Corporation.
Haven't been for many years.
Many years. By the way, I've criticized things we've done here, so it's not necessarily automatic that if we offered up a tweet, I would have stayed silent. But I saw this, and again, I will emphasize, it's a headline. You can't offer 150 words in a headline on Twitter. So I get how it's not the easiest to do it. But when I saw this yesterday afternoon, Ryan Londergren, comma, trooper killed Ricky Cobb II, returns to work with Minnesota State Patrol, I was left right away saying, shouldn't it also say, comma, and charges were dropped? I mean, if you don't know this story and you just see Ryan Londergren, trooper who killed Ricky Cobb II, returns to work with Minnesota State Patrol, and you don't see it, you're like, wait a second, what happened? Now, maybe you could say you could automatically leap to that. To me, and again, there's only a certain amount of space, like headlines in paper, headlines on Twitter, also, but to me, you need to phrase that and also include charges were dropped. Do you agree with me?
I saw the same headline, I guess.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's part two, Ilhan Omar against Don Samuels, right? I feel like that 2 years ago, we spent way more time talking about this race. Now, just because we in the media locally are not talking about it as much doesn't mean the voters aren't fired up about the race, that Omar supporters aren't fired up or the Samuels supporters aren't fired up. You're still seeing some national interest in it. Like today, Ilhan Omar has been trending. I don't think that's probably from a lot of supporters. That's my guess. She has so much more money than Samuels. If you have local TV and you've turned it on the last few weeks, you've been seeing ads for Omar quite a bit. It was a very competitive race last time. You saw a fellow squad member and Cori Bush lose. Was it last week or was it the week before? It's
last week.
Where a powerful Jewish group went at her and spent like $9, $10 million in a primary. She handled it well. She said something about, I'm not going to finish until I tear your kingdom down. I wouldn't be thrilled if I had a group going at me. Now, I don't agree with almost everything Cori Bush says. My gut tells me that Omar has enough passionate loyalty from her core voters that even though a lot more moderates are inclined for Don, that Ilhan is going to win and then it's over in that race. I don't even personally know the name of the Republican who's running, but it's no different than some of the other districts where whomever wins the Republican primary is going to win. What is your sense here?
Are you buying that the righties are going to show up and vote for Don Samuels tonight?
So I'm sure some did, because you're allowed to do that in our state. I'm sure some did in 22, and I'm sure some will in 24. And maybe I'm misreading it, but I talked to a number of my political friends who followed even closer to me, and they had the same feeling that it's not going to be a blowout. It'll be close, but their sense is it might not be quite as close as it was the last time. And I just get the impression because, and you don't have to agree with Ilhan Omar, but she's very popular with her core voters in that district. And that if you're telling me that her core, which isn't a small group in her district, is going to lose to more the moderates, and God knows I've said hundreds of times on this show, I'm a moderate, I'm a centrist, that you're going to get more moderates and you're going to get more righties going to vote, I don't think so. I just had the feeling that Samuels had more momentum the last time. And listen, we had a very spirited dialogue with Ilhan Omar months and months and months ago about Gaza, the Palestinians, and what was going on. We know where the far left is at. There's a lot of finger pointing at Netanyahu. You know, with Biden, Genocide Joe, and I think that group is very inclined to vote because they agree with Ilhan Omar. I will differ in this way. Good story in the New York Times today about how Netanyahu is altering the ceasefire agreement because he knows whenever this war ends, this grotesque war ends, that guess what? They're going to ask a couple questions, including how the hell did this happen on your watch? And oh, by the way, should you be there? And by the way, if he's not in office, he's facing criminal trial. So I do think Bibi Netanyahu hasn't been precise and selective enough, and too many innocent civilian Palestinians have died. But I think some people on the left who say, ceasefire, 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 don't ever bring up, hey, Hamas started this bleeping thing. They were decapitating innocents, and they still have hostages all over the place. But there's, as you know, because we've talked about a lot, and we've listened to others, and read others, there is still a lot of momentum on the further left for pushing back on the Biden administration and other administrations in their support of Israel.
Yeah, and as for the primary tonight, let me do something that's never been done before. Make an apt comparison between Ilhan Omar and Donald Trump.
Okay.
When it was still Trump versus Biden, I think it's a lot similar, very similar to what we're seeing tonight with the primary. You've got Omar supporters that, as you pointed out, are very fervent Ilhan Omar supporters, much like the MAGA wing of the Republican Party.
Yep.
Are very fervent Donald Trump supporters. And those that were going to vote for Joe Biden, probably it feels like at least those that are going to vote for Don Samuels, there's just not the same level of passion.
Yeah.
Of pro-candidate versus I don't like the other person. And that's, you know, especially in a campaign, which is going to, or in a primary, I should say, which is going to have a very small turnout.
Yep.
I don't think that wins the day.
Yeah. And again, Don, he's been in the mix of politics for a long time. He's been a center left guy for a long time. He's had praise. He's had some controversial issues, too. I do think it's possible that others who were more represented at center left wing might have drew more interest this time. A lot of people believe his wife, Sandra. What if we've interviewed Sandra on this show many times. She is a dynamic individual. Now, Don is more recognizable, but that's just my gut today. I mean, 10:30 tonight, they might announce Don Samba's won by 5%. We'll be going, ah, I guess we read that wrong.
Told you so. That's
yeah.
What I'll be saying.
That's what we
called
should,
it.
That's what we should say. I don't know what you're talking about. So I saw this on Twitter. I follow WCCO-TV, and we'll say again, WCCO-TV, well-established TV station in this town for a long time, and WCCO Radio. We're owned by two entities. We're owned by two different entities, right? You still hear CBS News here because we have an affiliation with CBS News, but we're not owned by CBS Corporation.
Haven't been for many years.
Many years. By the way, I've criticized things we've done here, so it's not necessarily automatic that if we offered up a tweet, I would have stayed silent. But I saw this, and again, I will emphasize, it's a headline. You can't offer 150 words in a headline on Twitter. So I get how it's not the easiest to do it. But when I saw this yesterday afternoon, Ryan Londergren, comma, trooper killed Ricky Cobb II, returns to work with Minnesota State Patrol, I was left right away saying, shouldn't it also say, comma, and charges were dropped? I mean, if you don't know this story and you just see Ryan Londergren, trooper who killed Ricky Cobb II, returns to work with Minnesota State Patrol, and you don't see it, you're like, wait a second, what happened? Now, maybe you could say you can automatically leap to that. To me, and again, there's only a certain amount of space, like headlines in paper, headlines in Twitter, also. But to me, you need to phrase that and also include charges were dropped. Do you agree with me?
I saw the same headline. I guess I didn't even think about it because having followed the case very closely, obviously knew what happened, didn't have to think twice about it. Space considerations aside, I think there's probably a way to rewrite that.
Well,
to tighten it up and added that charges were dropped, to be fair to Landgren.
Okay, here's the first sentence. When you link that, when you click on the link to the story, here's the first sentence. A white state trooper who shot and killed a black man during a traffic stop in Minneapolis last summer is now back on the job. Once again, that's the first sentence. To me, the first sentence of this story should also include that charges were dropped. Now, here's...
If you're not putting it in the headline...
Yeah.
Absolutely should be in the first. I don't even think you need to start with a white trooper who killed a black man. It can be Ryan Landgren, who was charged at one point. Facing murder charges in the death of Ricky Cobb.
After charges were dropped, is now back on the job with the state patrol. Okay. Here's the second graph, because the first graph is just a sentence. Ryan Landgren had been charged with second-degree unintentional murder, first-degree assault, and second-degree manslaughter for fatally shooting Ricky Cobb II on the morning of July 31st, 2023, during a traffic stop for inactive taillights. He pleaded not guilty to those charges in May, and they were dropped in June after the Hennepin County's office determined it could no longer meet its burden of proof. So that is comprehensive on that. And I guess I could see some people in the pure journalism business who would say, you're nitpicking here. But in the era we are in, where the media is drawing more scrutiny in cases like this, where race is involved, where this became an enormous story in the state about Mary Moriarty and what she was looking at, what she didn't look at, which consultants she listened to, which consultants she thanked and said, no, I'm still going to follow through, and how the charge was dropped, and Chris Maddow was so outspoken. Man, I just feel like in the headline, in the first sentence, you have to get to charges were dropped sooner than I believe they did.
It seems like it would be much more fair to Landgren, his family, the state patrol.
Yeah.
Certainly, I mean, if you come into it without any knowledge, there's a lot of people that look bad after just reading that headline. And you're right. How many people now consume news via headlines and headlines only?
And there are many, many times where writers of stories will get mad at the headline writers.
Yes.
And say, did you read the story?
Never happened with your father, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't pleased a lot. But obviously, working with Dan forever, there were many times that he would write a column, and I'd read the column and look at the headline and be like, they didn't quite capture what Dan was offering up, or Patrick, or news columnists. And I'm not saying it's the easiest to do it in a space challenge.
Mm-hmm.
This should have been better. What do you think? What do you want to add? And I'm curious to see what Jason has to say, because he has commented a couple times on my tweet. Jason's going to take you home. He's going to lead you up to the Twins. What do you want to say about this headline? Do you think I'm nitpicking? Do you think I'm right on? You want to add something else? 651-461-9226. Yes or no, do you think Barack Obama is listening to the playlist, or he's just got somebody and Barack just says, hey, I want to be current. Just put out some tunes now, last 30 years that I'm listening.
This feels exactly like the sort of thing that someone who's a big shot would spend way too much of their own time on, doesn't it? Like, this is like the CEO whose obsession is like, I don't know, recycle bins or something, or like the, you know, light fixtures.
Yeah.
And this, I think he's into it.
Yeah. Well, he's also running the country, too. I keep hearing
that's what I heard.
Barack Obama's.
Somebody must be.
Okay, so what do you want to say? You heard me talk about this.
Yeah.
You reacted to the tweet.
So you're right.
Should we stop there? I've heard it.
We could.
Dave, have you heard enough?
I think that's good for me.
Yeah.
You're right that the way people have consumed information has changed. And so all I can say, I don't know what the structure is over there now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I worked there, there was intense editorial scrutiny over anything that I put in a story that went on TV.
Okay.
So my reported story would get approved by a producer, approved by an executive producer, and then I could go edit the story.
Yep.
The internet team, the digital team, is in the newsroom and yet in their own universe. And I think most newsrooms, when you hear like talk of we're reinventing, like at the Star Tribune, or yeah, we're going to be digital first, a lot of that is because there is next to no editorial scrutiny over what's happening on the digital side of local news operations. I doubt this is true nationally, but locally, often
this is foolish.
You'll have one person who is writing, you know, wire copy or taking, you know, I had to write, when I did Good Question, I had to write a digital version of that story.
Yeah.
But someone else writes a headline. I didn't get to see the headline before it went out. Mm-hmm. Someone writes a tweet. I didn't get to see that. Knowing how few people are actually involved at our local TV stations at their digital operation, from a logistical standpoint, I highly doubt there, in many cases, is even one person looking at the work.
Why wouldn't they, considering they want to be on the forefront of this, that love it or hate it, X is still influential.
Yeah.
You're on it. You must think there's a reason why. Why wouldn't they have somebody else just oversee it?
Because there's no money there. There's no money in that operation. Now, I think stations are, and they used to, and I used to be a believer of this, where I would, to a certain extent, blame the consumer. You have, this is a click. It's a tease for a story. Read the story and then get back to me.
Well,
the truth is,
but in the case of this story, the first sentence is this, Jason. A white state trooper who shot and killed a black man during a traffic stop in Minneapolis last summer is now back on the job. You got to keep going. It seems like if you're not going to have the headline, then yeah, that's your first sentence.
I think there is. I think many of us who never used to blame the police in any of these cases, when you hear officer killed a man, it sounds like blame is being cast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would push back and say, do you apply that same concern when it's a random person who's accused of killing someone?
It's a fair question. I still think they missed out.
I agree. I agree with you. Yeah. It's poorly written.
Yeah. Jason's next. Yes or no, do you think Barack Obama is listening to the playlist, or he's just got somebody and Barack just says, hey, I want to be current, just put out some tunes now, last 30 years that I'm listening
this
to.
Feels exactly like the sort of thing that someone who's a big shot would spend way too much of their own time on, doesn't it? Like, this is like the CEO whose obsession is like, I don't know, recycle bins or something, or like the, you know, light fixtures.
Yeah.
And this, I think he's into it.
Yeah. Well, he's also running the country, too. I keep hearing
that's
that.
That's what
that
I
Barack
heard.
Obama's.
That's some, who is? Somebody yeah, must be.
Somebody must be. Okay, so what do you want to say? You heard me talk about this.
Yeah.
You reacted to the tweet.
So you're right.
Should we stop there? I've heard
sure,
it.
We
Dave,
could.
Yeah. Dave, have you heard enough?
That's good for me.
Yeah.
You're right that the way people have consumed information has changed. And so all I can say, I don't know what the structure is over there now,
mm-hmm,
but when I worked there, there was intense editorial scrutiny over anything that I put in a story that went on TV.
Okay.
So my reported story would get approved by a producer, approved by an executive producer, and then I could go edit the story.
Yep.
The internet team, the digital team, is in the newsroom and yet in their own universe. And I think most newsrooms, when you hear like talk of we're reinventing, like at the Star Tribune, or
yeah,
we're going to be digital first, a lot of that is because there is next to no editorial scrutiny over what's happening on the digital side of local news operations. I doubt this is true nationally, but locally, often
this is foolish.
You'll have one person who is writing, you know, wire copy or taking, you know, I had to write when I did Good Question, I had to write a digital version of that story.
Yeah.
But someone else writes a headline. I didn't get to see the headline before it went out. Mm-hmm. Someone writes a tweet. I didn't get to see that. Knowing how few people are actually involved at our local TV stations at their digital operation, from a logistical standpoint, I highly doubt there, in many cases, is even one person looking at the work.
Why wouldn't they, considering they want to be on the forefront of this, that love it or hate it, X is still influential.
Yeah.
You're on it. You must think there's a reason why. Why wouldn't they have somebody else just oversee it?
Because there's no money there. There's no money in that operation. Now, I think stations are, and they used to, and I used to be a believer of this, where I would, to a certain extent, blame the consumer. You have, this is a click, it's a tease. For a story, read the story and then get back to me.
Well,
the truth is,
but in the case of this story, the first sentence is this, Jason. A white state trooper who shot and killed a black man during a traffic stop in Minneapolis last summer is now back on the job. You got to keep going. It seems like if you're not going to have the headline, then yeah. That's your first sentence.
I think many of us who never used to blame the police in any of these cases, when you hear officer killed a man, it sounds like blame is being cast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would push back and say, do you apply that same concern when it's a random person who's accused of killing someone?
It's a fair question. I still think they missed out.
I agree with you. Yeah. It's poorly written.
Yeah. Jason's next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.